to receive today? Yeah. Father, we just thank you for your word today. And I thank you, Lord God, that where your word is, that there's life. And where your word is preached, it never comes back void. I pray, God, that you'd feed us today. That, Lord God, that you'd feed every person in this place. We declare that in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Give five people a high five this morning as you grab a seat. That'd be awesome. Awesome. Wonderful. Alrighty. So good. How are you doing this morning? Turn to someone next to you and say, I am alive. Turn to the person next on the other side and say, you look good today. Then turn to the person behind you and say, you've lost weight since last Sunday. Amen. Amen. Hey, if you're part of our junior youth or junior high school program, then we want to release you now. And so year 7 to year 9, we've got an amazing program at the back there with Shannon. Give us a big wave there, Shannon. How many love Shannon? So you're part of that. You can just go and head out there with her. We've got a whole bunch of young people who are out there with her, and it's going to be fantastic. And this morning, before I preach the word, I want to let you know about some things that are happening in the life of our church. And for those who weren't here a couple of weeks ago, I announced on Vision Sunday that as a church, we are moving forward. Everyone say forward.
Forward.
Everyone say forward.
Forward.
People say, why does the preacher always make us say stuff? Why does he always make us repeat stuff? Here's why, because there's power in agreement. The Bible says, where two or three agree on earth, it is done in heaven. So, you know, I'm not just trying to make you talk. I'm trying to build your faith. Because where there's unity, God commands a blessing. Someone say, forward. And so as a church, we're moving forward. And on the 21st of April, Easter Sunday, we are launching a second service right here in Logan. And this campus is moving forward. I mean, I don't know if you noticed, but we're starting to run out of chairs and our kids program is really starting to overflow. I mean, it was amazing. This whole altar this morning was filled with kids praising Jesus. Amen. Come on. That's worth getting up in the morning to see the next generation moving ahead. I say that because when I grew up in church, we didn't stand at the front. We sat at the back. And then as soon as the preacher started, we'd go out the back of the church and play and smoke cigarettes. Aren't you glad we don't do that at Forward Church? Amen. And the Lord's redeemed me. The Lord's forgiven me of my sin. And, let's move on. And, but anyway, they used to do different things. And today, though, we're excited about the fact that our kids get to praise God together. And so on the 21st of April, we're going to be just launching a second service on Easter Sunday. And Good Friday, we're actually going to be doing a community outreach. So we're going to be going to Logan, to Mabel Park High School. We're going to invite the whole community. We're looking at giving away 10,000 Easter eggs. Yeah, it's not about chocolate. Easter's not about chocolate, but we want to give somebody who doesn't know what the real reason for Easter is some chocolate, so they'll come into the house of God and discover it's about Jesus. And so that's going to be amazing. We want to do that. And so as part of the build-up to that, we have an offering that we're going to receive. We're going to receive an Arise and Build offering right here in this campus on the 31st of March. And I want you to pray into that. And in fact, on every seat is an envelope. And I'd encourage you today just to take that envelope home and just put it on your fridge and just begin to pray and believe God. And I want you to know, and I'm just going to put this out there. I want you to know, I'm believing we're going to raise $20,000 as a campus so that we can advance and see souls saved and lives changed. As part of that, we're going to do an outreach. As part of that, we're going to upgrade this facility and just give it a fresh lick of paint and just tidy things up. And so I believe it's the 6th. Of April, there's two actually, the 6th of April, which is a Saturday, and the 9th, which is a Tuesday for those who can't make the 6th. We have a working bee, a Logan working bee, our Forward Church Logan campus. So I'm really looking to you, I really want to encourage you that on those days, if you can't make one, then make the other. And it doesn't matter how much or how little you can do. Every person, every hand counts. And where there are many hands, there's light work, somebody said. And so I want to encourage you to come along to that. And as part of that, we're going to be cleaning. We're going to be cleaning up the gardens. We're going to be cleaning up this auditorium, paint a little bit of paint, and all that kind of stuff. And by the way, a big shout out to the Fisher of Men guys, who have already been doing a tremendous work in the car park with science. Can we just give them a big, great big hand? And it's amazing what they're doing. But I want you to know that this church is not built on the gifts of the few. This church is built on the sacrifices of the many. It's not about one or two or a few people doing a lot. It's about everybody doing their bit. And if everybody does their bit, how many know God gets the glory? And so I want to encourage you to come along to that on the 6th and 9th of April. And honestly, you know, we'll give you a sponge. We'll do whatever. I'll be there and all the rest of the team will be there. And I want to encourage you to come along and we can see God do something great in Jesus' name. How many believe that the greatest days of Forward Church Logan are out in front of it? How many believe that Logan must be saved in the name of Jesus? I'm excited about the fact that already this building is becoming too small for one service, and we got to expand. Touch someone next to you and say, "You got to expand." Not in the natural. I was talking about spiritual. We got to expand. Anyone say expand? Yeah. You weren't designed. You weren't made by God to be stagnant. You were not created just to be the same. Go through the mundane 9 to 5. You weren't made just to go to work and pay the bills. Your life, you were created for something far more than that. What you do for a job, that's your career. But what you are made for with your life, the purpose you've been given, that's your call. And God's got a call for every person. In the name of Jesus, if you believe that, shout, "Oh, yes."
Oh, yes.
Shout it, "Oh, yes."
Oh, yes.
Amen. If you have a Bible, I want you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. 2019 is the year of double portion. Double portion. In fact, already I've been talking to people in this church and they've been wearing their bands as they go around. And people have been asking, "What's that mean? What does that mean?" Can I tell you what a great opportunity that is to tell people about what Jesus has done in your life? That you've got a great promise from God. The year of double portion. And today we continue a series we began last week called "This Is How We Do It." 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 7. Says, "You must each decide." Everyone say, "I got to decide." Say, "I've got to decide." In your heart, how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Everyone say, cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. You know, there are some things in your life that will outlive you. We came into this world with nothing. We will leave this world with nothing. But there are some things that we will leave behind. There are some things that will be left forever. And one of the things that will be left forever is the impact that you can make by inviting someone into a relationship with Jesus. That when you do that will remain forever. The impact on a person's heart in terms of their salvation. You know, what you sow into people, that'll be remembered forever. And according to this scripture here, then what you give and what you sow and how generous you are will be remembered forever. And so today, if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. The title of my message this morning is "The Blessing of Generosity." Everyone say, "The Blessing of Generosity." Now, I'd like to think that I'm a pretty generous person, and I'm sure we'd all like to think we're pretty generous people. How many of you, in fact, would say that you're a generous person? Just give me a wave if you think, you know, you're a pretty generous person. I'm in that category. I like to think I'm a pretty generous person. How many of you would say that you'd lead the way with irrational generosity? Like, you know, like random acts of kindness, go over the top. How many would you put your hands up with that? Yes, oh, good, Maui. Yeah, Maui, good. Make sure you go and talk to Maui after church. And by the way, aren't our worship team, aren't they just an amazing team, just doing great? Can we give them a big hand? And, you know, so I put my hand up there. Yeah, look, I give things away, and, you know, I'd like to think I'm generous. And, you know, and most people think they're generous. You know, I think I'm generous. And we think we're generous because we give. But I want you to know today that giving and being generous are two different things. Giving and generosity are two different things. And here are some stats. You want some statistics? Most of us who live in the Western world don't feel rich, but we are. Australia has the highest minimum wage in the world. That's good news for all the Kiwis who came here. And not only that, petrol is about half the price of what you pay for in New Zealand. So never complain about the price of petrol. Nearly 50% of the world live on $2.50 a day. For what you and I would spend for on a latte. In fact, double the price of a latte is what most people live on in a day. 80% of the world lives on $10 or less per day. So that means 80% of the world. If you get paid more than $70 a week, or you are paid an annual income of more than $5,000 per annum, you are on the wealthiest top 20% in the world. Most of us think we're generous, but truth be told, we're probably not. According to the Australian Tax Office in 2012, the average Australian gave away 0.32% of their income, just gave it away to charity. 0.32%, the average Australian, not just the church, but the average Australian. Do you know what the church gave away? Maybe you don't know, want to know what the church gave away. Well, I want you to know the good news is that Christians give away more than the average Australian. That's a good thing. But the average Christian gives away, Christian gives away of their income 0.7% of their income. 0.7% of their income. In other words, the average Christian gives away less than 1% of their income. The average Christian across Australia. So what that tells us then is that as much as we think we are generous, the truth is when we look at living life God's way and living life by God's standard, the two are very different. The reason, of course, is that most people don't give is because they have a scarcity mindset. I grew up poor. I've told you this before. We grew up incredibly poor. When I grew up, there were 20 of us living in a 3-bedroom house with one bathroom and one toilet. Anybody grow up like that? Oh, yeah. I mean, I live in a house now with 4 toilets and 4 showers. And I've got 6 girls that live in the house. So even all of those showers are never enough for all those girls. But we grew up in a house where there were 20 of us living in a 3-bedroom home. One shower, one toilet. And we grew up so poor that we only ate twice a day. We had breakfast before we went to school. We'd come home and we'd have dinner at 4 o'clock because my family, my grandparents would be waiting for the kids to come home so that we could all eat together. But we only ate twice a day. We only had a bath once a week. Somebody's laughing really loud at that, and that's good. We only bath once a week. Why? Because we're conserving water. And that's how poor. And what can happen is that if you've been exposed to scarcity, and truth is you can have a scarcity mindset whether you grew up with much or you grew up with little. But for me, I grew up with little. So, of course, my response to the world was, well, I'm going to keep everything in that I get. If I get a dollar, I'm going to save that dollar. You know what I'm saying? So I had a scarcity mindset. And here's what happens with a scarcity mindset. A scarcity mindset, I think it's going to come up on the screen, goes like this. God supplies, because everything we receive in our hand, God gives it to us. The money you receive at your job, you receive it because God gave you the power to get that wealth and to work. So God supplies. A scarcity mindset, then we consume, and then we lack, and because we lack, we fear, and because we fear, we consume some more. Hello, somebody. We have the highest rates of debt in our society today than there has ever been in the history of our society. There is more debt that we have today than in any other time in history, because many of us live in this consumer mindset. Turn to the person next to you and say, I'm really glad that you came to hear this today. Hey, and ultimately scarcity comes out of fear, and fear leads to poverty. But the good news for you today is that God did not give you a spirit of fear, but God gave you a spirit of power and a spirit of love and a spirit of sound mind. So you don't have to live in fear. That is not God's promise to your life. So then how do we counter that? As believers, living life God's way, this is how we do it. What then shall our response be? Well, our response to really counter that notion of scarcity and not having enough is, number one, we make a decision to give generously. We give generously. You know what happens when you give generously? We literally embody the nature of God. Did you know that your God is a generous God? There is nothing about your God that is stingy. There is nothing about your God that is half-hearted when it comes to you. God so loved the world that he gave. Everyone say gave. His only son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You cannot outgive God. Everything you give to God, you will receive so much more. And by the way, receiving blessing is much more than money. You've heard me say this before. But I'm thankful to God. The day I gave my life to Jesus, I woke up, I went to bed that night and I slept the best that I've slept in years. I woke up in the morning and I didn't feel tired. Hello, somebody. What an amazing gift to go to sleep at night and wake up in the morning and not feel more tired than you were when you went to bed. I woke up in the morning and I looked out at the sky and the sky was bluer and the grass was greener. I want you to know that there's no money that's greater than that, because money won't help you when you're on your deathbed. Money won't help you. But the grace of God, the blessing of God, the peace of God, knowing that God was so generous to you that he gave you everything that you need in life, that is the kind of God we serve. And if our God is generous, then the way we break the cycle is we must make a decision to give generously. When I'm at a decision that whenever I catch up with anybody for meals or like coffees, and I think this is really important if you're going out with an older person. I was having dinner with an older pastor just the other day, and he tried to pay for the coffee. I said, no, sir. You've done your time. You'll never come to coffee with me and ever have to pay. I've made a decision that I'm going to live generously in my life. Can I tell you what happens? The more generous that I am, the more generosity comes back to me. When we give generously, God has a way of giving back to us. And when we give, God loves it and people love it. Tell you what, if I call him up and others up, hey, you want to come and hang out? Come and get a coffee? Oh, yes, I'd love to come out with you. Why? Because people love generous people. How many people in this room love stingy people? How many want to go to a stingy person's house for dinner? How many want to go? Have you ever been out to dinner with someone, or you go out to lunch or whatever, and then you have a great meal, and then you get to the part where you go to pay? And then, you know, and then you stand there, and sometimes you're there, and like then they start doing the Australian haka. Oh, sorry, I forgot my wallet. Oh, sure you did. Yeah, sure you forgot your wallet when you ordered the most expensive thing on the menu. Hey, but how many love being around a person who's generous? There's something about that. By the way, you know, generosity begets generosity. What you sow, you shall also reap. The Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. And this is how we do it. And again, the reason we give generously is because God gives generously. So we give generously, and here's what happens. The second principle is that God multiplies abundantly. God multiplies abundantly. I want you to know that there are a whole bunch of corporates who have caught wind of this fact, that if they give away 10% of their profit, I'm talking about people who don't even believe in Christ. I'm talking about people who've never read the Bible. But we have a whole bunch of corporates who have clicked onto this fact somehow, that if they take 10% of their profit, of their bottom line, and they give that away, they somehow end up getting more. Now, I want you to understand that in that world, that business world, you are motivated by money. So everything is about the bottom dollar. I can tell you this, they wouldn't give away 10% unless it was good for their bottom line. Well, a whole bunch of corporates have gotten hold of that. I'm believing God for the day when the church, Christians right across this country, would get a hold of this fact that if you trust God with your money, then God will bless your life. And you cannot outgive God. Touch someone next to you and say, you can't outgive God. You can't. So God multiplies abundantly. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 10. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. Actually hear that. Seed to the sower. There are some people who are believing for a financial breakthrough. God's not giving you any seed because you're not sowing. It doesn't say give seed to the hoarder. It says, come on, somebody. It says he gives seed to the sower. In other words, God doesn't want your life to be a lake. He wants your life to be a river. He wants to flow through you. See, now he supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous in every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. How many have ever heard about a need? Maybe you heard about it on Facebook, or maybe a friend told you about it. There was a need somewhere. And with all your heart, you want to give to that need. But when you look in your pocket, you just can't. Anybody ever been there before? You want to be able to help, but I can't. Well, can I encourage you? That if you adopt a mindset and you adopt a spirit of generosity, then the more you give, the more you will receive. See, the scarcity mindset is one way, but I want to introduce you to a generosity mindset. Here's what a generosity mindset looks like. God supplies. We give. God multiplies. Our faith is built up. And we give more. Let me say that again. A generosity mindset is that God supplies. Everything comes from God. And when we receive from God, we give. Because God has given us so much, we give. God multiplies. Our faith is built up. And as a result of that, we give. So how is it that we literally and spiritually break the cycle? For me, again, I grew up poor. There was no one that I knew that was wealthy. There was no one in all of my family, no one that owned their own home. We were a generation of renters. And there was nobody that I knew that actually had anything. And then the day I met Jesus, I discovered that I didn't have to live in that old mindset. I discovered that God had something better for me. And that mindset was a generosity mindset. And so how do we then break the cycle of scarcity and step into a cycle of generosity? The Bible says a righteous person leaves an inheritance for his children's children. How many here want their children to go further than they did? How many here want their children to be more blessed than they did? I live my life every day. I want you to know on a Sunday, yes, I'm the pastor of this church, but number one, more important than that, I'm a dad. And I want to make sure that my children have the most incredible legacy, the most incredible inheritance in God. I'm living my life so that they can go further than me. And the way we can do that in the area of our finances is by tithing. When you tithe, it breaks the curse. When you tithe, it breaks the cycle. When you give to God, God takes what you've given to him and he blesses what you have left. I remember before I became a Christian, I was working at, I had this high-paying, high-powered corporate job, you know, working at McDonald's, flipping burgers. And I worked at Macca's, and while I was working there, I really enjoyed it. I loved it. And my managers just, you know, sent me away on training things. They sent me to Hamburger University. Yeah, in Chicago. So my boss sent me to Chicago. It was awesome. On the way there, he says, hey, listen, why don't you stop at Knott's Berry Farm in LA, go to Disneyland? I'm like, yes, sir, I'll do that. And then went to Knott's Berry Farm. I want you to know that your pastor is highly educated. I have a Bachelor of Hamburgerology. Hamburgerology, it's a real bachelor. And so I went there and, you know, got all this training and it was absolutely amazing. And I have no idea why I'm talking about that, but it's all good. I have no idea what I'm talking about. Anyway, let's just move on. So it'll come back to me. This is where I need my, anyway, it'll come back to me. And so tithing breaks the cycle of scarcity. Malachi chapter 3 verse 10 says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me, the Bible says in this, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it. In other words, I remember now. See, the first 10% belongs to God. And then when you give God first what's his, then he blesses what you've got left. I was working in Macca's and I got this Bachelor of Hamburgerology. I'm single. At that point in time, you're talking over 20 years ago, I was earning $50,000 a year. I was single. I had no children and I was staying with my mum. So I had no board costs. I had nothing. I was earning the most money I'd ever earned in my life. And at the end of the week, I had no money left. It was like it came in one way and it was gone. The more I earned, it was just gone. You know, you get excited when you get a job promotion, but what happens is you buy a bigger car and you spend more money. And so I was earning all this money and I had nothing. And then I became a Christian and I gave my life to Jesus during that. And from the day I became a Christian, I decided that I was going to begin to tithe. So I began to tithe. And when you take 10%, you know, so let's say 5 grand out of 50, I began to give that to God. In my mind, I'm like, far out. This is a lot of coffee money that I'm just giving now to God. Yeah, yeah. And I began to tithe. And I had less money left in my bank. But I tell you what, I had more money than I ever had in my life. For some reason, at the end of the week, there wasn't an overdraft balance. I had more than enough. And by the way, then all of a sudden, I was getting all these random, you know, I get a tax payment that I didn't even know about. What happened was literally God opened up the windows of heaven. And he poured out blessing because I made a decision. Trust me, I made many bad ones, but that was one of the good ones. Made one good decision to give Jesus the first 10%. He says in another scripture, give to God what is God, give to Caesar's what is Caesar's. The first 10% of everything we earn, all of our increase belongs to God. And if you give it to God, then God will bless the rest. I discovered an important principle that day. It's better to have a blessed 90%. A blessed 90% will go far further than having the whole 100% that isn't blessed. Somebody shout amen. Amen. And so the way we break the cycle is the tithe. And the Bible says that if you give to him, then he literally protects your money. He protects, you know, the devourer from coming in and destroying your crop. And he opens up the windows of heaven, pours out so much blessing that you can't contain it. There are three important principles I want to give you this morning before we conclude. Number one, the tithe teaches us to put God first. The tithe teaches us to put God first. Somebody said to me once, well, but I give God my time. That's amazing. So grateful. I give God my gift, my talent. That's amazing. It's wonderful. People are being blessed by it. But let me say this, as your loving pastor, that if you don't give God your money, then God doesn't have you at all. And here's why. Because the Bible says that wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If God doesn't have your tithe, he doesn't have you. Hey, I know this is, you know, this is a direct message today, but you know what? Sometimes we've got to eat some vegetables. Come on. If I ask my children, hey, darling, what would you, if I have all this food, it happens every time we have a meal, what would you like to eat? They'll automatically go for the dessert, they go for the other stuff, and then here's what we do as parents, we take some broccoli and put it on their plate, and we say these words, you are not leaving this table. Hello, somebody, anybody, do we still have, you know, you're not leaving this table. I don't care if you eat all of that other stuff, but you're not leaving this table until you eat the broccoli. Well, I want you to know that this morning's message is like the vegetables today. Hey, we don't always like to eat it, but it's good for us. Touch someone next and say, it's good for me. The tithe teaches us to put God first. Hey, here's what it is, guys. Honestly, here's what it is. It's not a money issue, it's a trust issue. It's not a money issue. Why? How do I know that? Because I'll easily spend money on things, anything. I'll easily, oh, I want to go to hell. Yeah, spend money, yeah. Hey, you want to buy some new shoes? Yeah. Hey, let's go to Culture Kings. Yeah. Let's go shopping. So, oh, no issue with spending money and giving money. But when it comes to God, the issue, real issue is, do we trust God that God will take care of our lives? And here's the testimony I know of every person who is a tither. How's your life going? Blessed. You know, how's your finances? Oh, my gosh. I don't know how we do it. I get the bills at the beginning of the month and I go, oh my gosh, there's so many bills. But at the end of the month, we always manage to pay those bills. Yeah. And we always have more to... Here's the testimony of a non-tither. How you doing? Oh, my washing machine broke down last week. Hey, how's it going? Oh, you know, here's the testimony of a non-tither is that they never have enough. But here's the testimony of a tither. I'm blessed. Come on. Come on, I'm blessed. The tithe puts God first. Number two, the tithe builds our faith. There is only one place in all of the scriptures where God says these words, test me. You can't test him with prayer. You can't test him with healing. You can't test God with anything else in all the Bible. But he says, when it comes to your money, test me. In other words, he's saying, you can try me at my word. I am no man's debtor. You cannot outgive me. He says, test me. And so when you give to God and you tithe, you build your faith. I remember when I first, you know, again, I've been a fairly new Christian and felt the Lord was calling me to full-time ministry. I was working at that point. I was managing a McDonald's restaurant in a place called Lambton Key. It was a multi-million dollar operation. I had something like, I don't know, 60 staff or something. And I was pretty happy. I was enjoying my life. And then my pastor calls me one day. He says, Daniel, I want to meet with you. I said, yes, sir. Met with him. And he says, I really feel like God's calling you to step out of that, the marketplace, and come and work in full-time ministry. And, you know, honestly, if I'm honest with you, I sat there with him. I said, yes, sir. And I walked out of the room. I said, oh, no way am I going to work for that. Oh, no. Because I heard about the packages. And I'm single earning $50,000 a year. Oh, my gosh. Why on earth would I want to take that? Why would I want to do that to myself? So I did what every, you know, good, you know, actually, no, not good Christian. But I ran away from God for a year. And the Lord would speak to me, Daniel. And I'd run away from God. Daniel. Get behind me, get behind me. I'd run away from God, Daniel. And this is not for everybody, but it wasn't for me. Daniel, you need to quit your job. And you need to come and work in the ministry. No, it's not for me. And here's what I was thinking about. I was just thinking about the money. And I had a lot of bills to pay. And then finally, one day, I got near the end. And I said, God, I'll only do this if you do three things for me. I said, God, I'll only serve you. Such was the arrogance of this young little whippersnapper. Who does he think he is? I said, God, I'll only do this if you give me a house, give me some furniture in that house, and fix my car, which has got this dent on the front because this little punk ran into me one day and I didn't have the money to fix it. Here I am speaking to the creator of heaven and earth. Daniel, step out in ministry. Well, God, I want you to fix my car, and I want you to give me a house. God's gracious. So I did that. I said, God, and then time went further. Nothing happened. I'm like, see, God, well, you're not going to deliver. No way. And then I went to a conference, and when I went to this conference, I remember sitting at the very back on the balcony in this conference. And you know the amazing thing about a conference is that really it's a time where God gets to have your full attention. And I was in this conference and I was standing right at the very back, thousands of people in this room. And I heard the voice of the Lord. And I heard the voice of the Lord say, Daniel, it's time to serve me. None of those things were together. None of those things in my life that were priorities for me were in order. But at that moment, I decided to surrender my heart. Okay, God, I surrender. And so then I remember sitting, you know, I was on the balcony. I went home, put my resignation in. 4 weeks from now, I'm going to quit my job. And I'm going to work full-time in the ministry. I went from earning $50,000 a year to $12,500 a year. And, yeah, anyway. So there I was. And I put that in. The next week, I got a phone call from one of my managers at work. And he was moving to Australia. And he says, Daniel, do you know anyone who's looking to buy a house? I said, well, actually, I'm looking for a house. And what had happened was I'd been to the bank and I'd gotten a pre-approval for this house. And I'd gotten a certain dollar amount. But the amount that I could borrow meant that I'll basically, you know, like I kind of want to live in the suburbs. But yeah, my loan was not going to get me in the suburbs. You know what I'm saying? I was going to be living like, you know, and I'm fine. I was going to be living in the hood. And I'm cool with it. I grew up in the hood. I got no issues with it. But, you know, I was kind of, you know, anyway, I could only earn this much. And he said to me, hey, I said, where's your house? He told me, and it was like in the suburbs. Oh, my gosh, that's exactly where I want to live. Oh, but I've been to the bank. I don't think I could afford it. And then he said, well, how much could you afford? And I told him. And it was significantly less than what that house was worth. He said, I tell you what, because I really need to go in the next 2 weeks. If we don't have a real estate agent, I'll give it to you for that price. And I went, and I settled on that house 3 weeks later. So 3 weeks later, I had a house that was in the suburbs that was worth what it would cost me for something in the hood. And there I was. I'm like, flip, Lord, I should have resigned a long time ago. So now I start thinking, okay, God, that's one. Number two's coming. So I'm at the traffic lights with my mum, and it's a Friday night, and I'm in my car, and where the traffic lights, there's a red light, and there's a car in front of us, then there's us, and there's no car behind us, and I hear this loud screeching noise. It's a Friday night, so a whole bunch of boy racers are out. Anyway, the loud screeching noise, this car's speeding, and I can hear the brakes, and this car comes and smashes into the back of my car, like full force. My mum and I are there, and smashes into the back of me. There was such intensity or such speed that it sandwiched my car between the car behind me and the car in front of me. So now I went from having one dent to having two dents. So that was there. And I must admit, you know, I was still a fairly new Christian. So my first response was to jump out of the car and run and, you know, try and find the guy. You know, God's still working on the Polynesian part of me. And anyway, so then as I did that, I'm like, you know, so anyway, he goes, police come. They give me a police report. And I said, what am I going to do? The guy's gone. He says, don't worry. Take this police report. Call your insurance company. So I call the insurance company. I said, listen, my car's, you know, car's dented. How much is it going to cost me to fix it? They go, oh, no, it wasn't your fault. You know, we'll fix it for you. Well, because it was a second dent on top of the first dent, all of a sudden my car was fixed for free. And I'm like, Lord, you're amazing. Two out of three. And I'm waiting for number three. I said, Lord, the reason I need furniture is because when young people come to my house, they need to have something to sit on. I mean, I was, you know, all I had, all I ever owned was a bed. Isn't it amazing that God knows what you need before you need it? Yeah. One day I come home, and it was about, it was actually on the last day before I resigned. I came home, and one of my stepfather's best friends is moving to Australia. I don't know why all these Kiwis keep moving to Australia. Anyway, so he does, and the garage is filled with his the furnishings in his house, because the whole house is furnished, and he's putting it in the garage because he's getting ready to transport it to Australia. So he's on the phone to the transport guys, and I walk into the house, and I'm like, this is the furniture is amazing. And I actually thought, you know, maybe we can make him an offer and buy it from him. I walk upstairs, he gets off the phone, he says, I've just spoken to the removal company, and he says, it's going to cost me more to remove it, to transport it, than it will be to buy brand new furniture when I get there. Wow. My eyes went. And he says, Daniel, I heard that you just quit your job. I said, yes. He said, I heard you're going to work for the church. I said, yeah. He said, I never told you this, but when I was your age, I quit my job and tried to go in the ministry too. I said, I never knew that. I'd known him for about 10 years. I never knew that. He said, yeah, but things, you know, we just end up taking a different direction. I'm like, cool. And he says, and I hear you bought a house. I said, yes, I have. He says, do you have any furniture? I said, no. I said, no. He says, well, you know, everything that your mother doesn't want. Now, my mum lives in a furnished house. You know, everything she doesn't want to upgrade in her own house, you can have it. So I run down into the garage where this is. This is how amazing God is. Now, I'm a bachelor, 22 years old. All I need in my life is a bed and a TV. True? I mean, I'm a family man now, but back then I wasn't. So all I care about is that, but I go into the garage. This is how amazing your God is. He cares about all the details. There was cutlery. There were pots. There were plates. There was a dining room table, Rimu table with 6 chairs. There was an entire lounge suite. There was like everything that I needed to furnish a 3-bedroom home. God gave me in that moment. And I want to encourage some people here today that when you tithe, yes, it's a leap of faith at the beginning, but boy, it opens up the floodgates of heaven and God will pour out a blessing in your life. Hey, the tithe builds your faith. Someone say faith. And number three, as we bring this thing to a close, number three, the tithe provides for the work of God's church. It says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. It's okay to give to missions, organizations. It's okay to give it to even missions in our church. But that's not the tithe. And that doesn't provide for the work of the church, i.e. the storehouse. When you bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, you're providing for the vision so that souls could be saved, lives could be changed, and the world could be changed. When you bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, you literally are changing lives. Because of your generosity, even so far, because of your generosity, we have incredible people in our church like Barbara. Now, I've obviously with coming together at the end of last year, I met Barbara in about October, November. And Barbara is a machine. She is awesome. And Barbara, the Lord really got a hold of her life and said, hey, listen, I want to go and do the internship. So last year, she decided, I'm going to do the internship program, which essentially is like kind of like doing a practical Bible college program. So Barbara comes into our office. And Barbara has never called people before on the phone. We said, Barbara, there's some people here. We'd love you just for you to call them and see how they're doing. She spent the entire day calling people, pushing past her own fears, and did an amazing job. And by the way, she loved it. And now she does it all the time. A few weeks ago, or maybe a couple of months ago, in this very building, Barbara spoke publicly, came to the stage, and she shared her testimony. She had never spoken before, ever, publicly. There she was. On that particular day, her children came. When you give to the house of the Lord, when you give to the work of the church, you change lives. So Barbara was there, but that's not all. Barbara comes down to the 5 p.m. service on the Gold Coast. Now, here in Logan, Tarun, because Pastor Tarun's a good pastor, he gave her a whole week's notice of this testimony on Sunday morning. Well, I'm on the stage, I'm about to preach, and I see Barbara sitting in the church. I'm like, somebody go and get Barbara and bring her here now. And Barbara comes. She says, yes, Pastor Dan. I said, the testimony you shared this morning, I want you to share it again right now. Barbara says, yes, Pastor Dan. Shares her testimony in front of hundreds of people. The first time she'd ever spoken publicly. And there she is, this woman on fire for Jesus, sharing the word of the Lord. Well, see, you know better than I do. But when Barbara came into this campus, into this church, Barbara was homeless. And now, she's an intern serving Jesus. She basically, helps to coordinate all the kids' programs. Her life and her faith has gone to a whole nother level. And here's why. Because when you tithe and when you give to the work of the church, you are changing lives in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody give it up for Barbara. Hey, because of your generosity, we're able to impact a city in Chiang Mai. Because of your generosity in a city where there was 150 brothels 10 years ago, because of your generosity, you've shut down 100 of them. Come on, somebody. Because of your generosity, we are saving girls out of sex slavery. Because of your generosity, because of your generosity, we were able to give gifts into hundreds of homes. Because of your generosity, we're going to go and impact Logan at Easter and Good Friday. Because of your generosity, people are getting saved in this church every single week. Because when you give to the work of the Lord, when you give to God's church, and lives are changed. And maybe you're here and you're like, oh, look, I've kind of done that before and things didn't go that well. Let me encourage you today with this challenge. Because I know plenty of people who said, look, I gave to God, but it didn't really work. I tithe and I had less. Well, let me encourage you today and give you this. Let me challenge you for 90 days. If tithing is not something that you do, let me encourage you with this. Let me challenge you with this. And say, if you commit to giving to God your tithe for 90 days, not just, you know, not 1 week and then stop, but 90 days. And when you give, put your name against it. And if after 90 days, if your life is not better, if you don't have more joy, if you don't have more peace, if you don't have more contentment, heck, I'm believing that you'll have more money. But if your life is not more blessed than it was before you began to tithe to the Lord, then write an email, it'll be confidential, to finance@forwardchurch.com. And everything you gave in that 90-day period, we will get refunded back to your account, no questions asked. Nobody will know about it. There's no shame, nothing. But when God says, test me in this, he means it. Come on, somebody. And so I want to encourage you today. Hey, and there are some people in this room and you're here for the first time. And there are some people in this room and you've been here, like, you know, from 19 years. It's amazing. I want to encourage you that this principle will change your life. If you honor God at his word and say, God, if you say it, I'm going to do it. It's in the Old Testament and the New Testament for those who wonder. It's not just the law. It's in grace too that we give to God. And when you tithe, you provide for the work of the church. This is how we do it. Are you part of the we today? Come on, are we going to see a revival begin? Are we going to see the fulfillment of the prayers of so many wonderful Christians and believers? Are we going to see the fulfillment of that? Yes, I believe we will. But here's how it must be. It's not just prayer. We've got to put our prayer and faith into action. And we've got to tithe and give to God in the name of Jesus. Would you just close your eyes and bow your heads all over this room? If you're here today, there are two people I want to pray for. If you're here today and you're saying, hey, I don't know Jesus and I want to get to know him. If you're here today and you're saying, look, I'm not right with God. And if you're here today saying, look, I don't know what's happened since I've been in this room, but I sense something is happening in my heart. I can't explain it, but I just feel something. I sense something. Then friend, I want you to know that that's the Holy Spirit. And I want you to know that God is calling on your heart. And God wants to have a relationship with you. The creator of heaven and earth wants to know you personally. Maybe you're here today. And maybe you've been distant from God. But today is your day. Today's your time. We're saying, I need to come back home. With every eye closed, every head bowed, every Christian praying quietly. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, or if you're here today and you're not right with God, when I get to three, I want to ask you to lift your hand with nobody looking around. And as you lift your hand, you're saying yes to Jesus. You're saying yes to a clean slate and yes to a new beginning. If you're here in this room and you don't know him as your Lord and as your Savior, or maybe no one else knows, but you know you've been distant from God. And friend, with every eye closed, every head bowed, I want you to lift your hand and respond to Jesus. And the King of heaven and earth will step across eternity and into your heart and into your life. One, you don't know Jesus. Two, you're not right with God. Maybe you once went to church, but you know that you're not right with God today. If that's you, when I get to three, lift your hand and say yes to Jesus. One, two, three. Lift your hand, heaven, all across this room. I'll see it and you can put it down. Quickly, friend, if that's you, say yes to God. Say yes to a clean slate and a new beginning. Say yes to a whole new chapter and a whole new life with God. Right across this place. 2 more seconds. 1 more second. Thank you, Jesus. I want to pray for a second group of people. And I want to pray for those. And I'm not going to ask you to respond. But in your heart, I want you to respond. I want to pray for people in this room who are saying, yeah, I need to start to tithe and give to God what's God's. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But out of grace and out of a revelation of how much God loves me, I'm going to begin to give God what's God's. With every eye closed, every head bowed. I don't want you to respond today, but for those of you who need to respond in your heart, I want you to respond in your heart as I pray. Father, I just pray for this church. I thank you for this generous church. I thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing and what you've done. I thank you for an incredible foundation that has brought us thus far. And I thank you, Lord God, for all that you're about to do and all that you're leading us into. I thank you for a revelation, Lord God, of what it means to break the scarcity cycle and step into a cycle of blessing and prosperity and generosity. And I thank you, God, for that. And even now, I just pray for faith to come alive in people's hearts. The faith to take the leap and step forward. And trust God. And we give you all glory. And we give you all praise. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen. Amen. Can we thank Pastor Dan for that amazing word? Thank you, Pastor Dan. Fantastic. Just before we close the service today, you probably noticed we haven't done the offering yet, and we're going to do that now. And I just want to reiterate what Pastor Dan was saying. You know, Proverbs 11, verse 24 in the Message translation says, "The world of the generous gets larger and larger, and the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller." Here's what I'm realizing, that it's not just my bank balance that gets larger when I'm generous. It's everything about my life. It's about my internal life, my family life, my community. Everything about the world of the generous gets larger and larger. So I want to encourage you, step out in faith. If that's your journey today, then do it. And it's my testimony that God is faithful. Amen. There's 4 ways you can give. You can give online at forwardchurch.com. You can give at the Next Steps table. We have FPOS in the offering buckets with the envelope on your seat. And you can also give by direct debit with those details on the envelope. As our stewards come round, we're going to go out with a praise.